Chapter 51. Wherein Nicholas at length encounters his uncle, to whom he expresses his sentiments with much candor. His resolution. Little Miss La Creevy trotted briskly through divers streets at the west end of the town, early on Monday morning, the day after the dinner charged with the important commission of acquainting Madame Mantalini that Miss Nickleby was too unwell to attend that day, but hoped to be enabled to resume her duties on the morrow. And as Miss La Creevy walked along, revolving in her mind various genteel forms and elegant turns of expression, with a view to the selection of the very best in which to couch her communication, she cogitated a good deal upon the probable causes of her young friend's indisposition. "I don't know what to make of it," apostrophe said Miss La Creevy. "Her eyes were decidedly red last night. She said she had a headache. Headaches don't occasion red eyes. She must have been crying." Apostrophe, arriving at this conclusion, which, indeed, she had established to her perfect satisfaction on the previous evening, Miss La Creevy went on to consider, as she had done nearly all night, what new cause of unhappiness her young friend could possibly have had. "I can't think of anything," apostrophe said the little portrait painter. "Nothing at all, unless it was the behavior of that old bear. Cross to her, I suppose? Unpleasant brute." Apostrophe, relieved by this expression of opinion, albeit it was vented upon empty air, Miss La Creevy trotted on to Madame Mantalini's, and being informed that the governing power was not yet out of bed, requested an interview with the second in command, whereupon Miss Nag appeared. "So far as I am concerned," apostrophe said Miss Nag, when the message had been delivered, with many ornaments of speech, "I could spare Miss Nickleby forevermore." Apostrophe, "Oh, indeed, ma'am." Apostrophe, rejoined Miss La Creevy, highly offended. "But, you see, you are not mistress of the business, and therefore it's of no great consequence." Apostrophe, "Very good, ma'am," apostrophe said Miss Nag. "Have you any further commands for me?" Apostrophe, "No, I have not, ma'am," apostrophe rejoined Miss La Creevy. "Then good morning, ma'am," apostrophe said Miss Nag. "Good morning to you, ma'am, and many obligations for your extreme politeness and good breeding," apostrophe rejoined Miss La Creevy. Thus terminating the interview, during which both ladies had trembled very much, and been marvelously polite, certain indications that they were within an inch of a very desperate quarrel, Miss La Creevy bounced out of the room, and into the street. "I wonder who that is," apostrophe said the queer little soul. "A nice person to know, I should think. I wish I had the painting of her. I do her justice." Apostrophe so, feeling quite satisfied that she had said a very cutting thing at Miss Nag's expense, Miss La Creevy had a hearty laugh, and went home to breakfast in great good humor. Here was one of the advantages of having lived alone so long. The little bustling, active, cheerful creature existed entirely within herself, talked to herself, made a confidant of herself, was as sarcastic as she could be on people who offended her, by herself, pleased herself, and did no harm. If she indulged in scandal, nobody's reputation suffered. And if she enjoyed a little bit of revenge, no living soul was one atom the worse. One of the many to whom, from straitened circumstances, a consequent inability to form the associations they would wish, and a disinclination to mix with the society they could obtain, London is as complete a solitude as the plains of Syria, the humble artist had pursued her lonely, but contented way for many years. And, until the peculiar misfortunes of the Nickleby family attracted her attention, had made no friends, though brimful of the friendliest feelings to all mankind. There are many warm hearts in the same solitary guise as poor little Miss La Creevy's. However, that's neither here nor there, just now. She went home to breakfast, and had scarcely caught the full flavor of her first sip of tea, when the servant announced a gentleman, whereat Miss La Creevy, at once imagining a new sitter transfixed by admiration at the street door case, was in unspeakable consternation at the presence of the tea things. Here, take 'em away, run with 'em into the bedroom, anywhere, apostrophe said Miss La Creevy. Dear, dear, to think that I should be late on this particular morning, of all others, after being ready for 3 weeks by 8:30, and not a soul coming near the place. Apostrophe, apostrophe, don't let me put you out of the way, apostrophe said a voice Miss La Creevy knew. I told the servant not to mention my name, because I wish to surprise you. Apostrophe, Mr. Nicholas. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Miss La Creevy, starting in great astonishment. You have not forgotten me, I see, apostrophe replied Nicholas, extending his hand. Why, I think I should even have known you, if I had met you in the street, apostrophe said Miss La Creevy, with a smile. Hannah, another cup and saucer. Now, I'll tell you what, young man, I'll trouble you not to repeat the impertinence you were guilty of, on the morning you went away. Apostrophe, you would not be very angry, would you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Nicholas. Wouldn't I? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Miss La Creevy. You had better try, that's all. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Nicholas, with becoming gallantry, immediately took Miss La Creevy at her word, who uttered a faint scream, and slapped his face, but it was not a very hard slap, and that's the truth. I never saw such a rude creature. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Miss La Creevy. You told me to try, apostrophe said Nicholas. Well, but I was speaking ironically, apostrophe rejoined Miss La Creevy. Oh, that's another thing, apostrophe said Nicholas. You should have told me that too. Apostrophe, I dare say you didn't know, indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, retorted Miss La Creevy. But, now I look at you again, you seem thinner than when I saw you last, and your face is haggard and pale. And how come you to have left Yorkshire? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she stopped here, for there was so much heart in her altered tone and manner that Nicholas was quite moved. I need look somewhat changed, apostrophe he said, after a short silence, for I have undergone some suffering, both of mind and body, since I left London. I have been very poor too, and have even suffered from want. Apostrophe, good heaven, Mr. Nicholas. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Miss La Creevy, what are you telling me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, nothing which need distress you quite so much, apostrophe answered Nicholas, with a more sprightly air, neither did I come here to bewail my lot, but on matter more to the purpose. I wish to meet my uncle face to face. I should tell you that first. Apostrophe, then all I have to say about that is, apostrophe interposed Miss La Creevy, that I don't envy you your taste, and that sitting in the same room with his very boots would put me out of humor for a fortnight. Apostrophe, in the main, apostrophe said Nicholas, there may be no great difference of opinion between you and me, so far, but you will understand that I desire to confront him, to justify myself, and to cast his duplicity and malice in his throat. Apostrophe, that's quite another matter, apostrophe rejoined Miss La Creevy. Heaven forgive me, but I shouldn't cry my eyes quite out of my head, if they choked him. Well? Apostrophe, to this end, I called upon him this morning, apostrophe said Nicholas. He only returned to town on Saturday, and I knew nothing of his arrival until late last night. Apostrophe, and did you see him? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Miss La Creevy. No, apostrophe, replied Nicholas. He had gone out. Apostrophe, ha! Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Miss La Creevy, on some kind, charitable business, I dare say. Apostrophe, I have reason to believe, apostrophe pursued Nicholas, from what has been told me, by a friend of mine who is acquainted with his movements, that he intends seeing my mother and sister today, and giving them his version of the occurrences that have befallen me. I will meet him there. Apostrophe, that's right, apostrophe said Miss La Creevy, rubbing her hands. And yet, I don't know, apostrophe she added, there is much to be thought of others to be considered. Apostrophe, I have considered others, apostrophe rejoined Nicholas. But as honesty and honor are both at issue, nothing shall deter me. Apostrophe, you should know best, apostrophe said Miss La Creevy. In this case I hope so, apostrophe answered Nicholas. And all I want you to do for me is to prepare them for my coming. They think me a long way off, and if I went wholly unexpected, I should frighten them. If you can spare time to tell them that you have seen me, and that I shall be with them in a quarter of an hour afterwards, you will do me a great service. Apostrophe, I wish I could do you, or any of you, a greater, apostrophe said Miss La Creevy. But the power to serve is as seldom joined with the will as the will is with the power, I think. Apostrophe, talking on very fast and very much, Miss La Creevy finished her breakfast with great expedition, put away the tea caddy, and hid the key under the fender, resumed her bonnet, and, taking Nicholas's arm, sallied forth at once to the city. Nicholas left her near the door of his mother's house, and promised to return within a quarter of an hour. It so chanced that Ralph Nickleby, at length seeing fit, for his own purposes, to communicate the atrocities of which Nicholas had been guilty, had, instead of first proceeding to another quarter of the town on business, as Newman Knox supposed he would, gone straight to his sister-in-law. Hence, when Miss La Creevy, admitted by a girl who was cleaning the house, made her way to the sitting room, she found Mrs. Nickleby and Kate in tears, and Ralph just concluding his statement of his nephew's misdemeanors. Kate beckoned her not to retire, and Miss La Creevy took a seat in silence. You are here already, are you, my gentleman? Apostrophe, apostrophe, thought the little woman. Then he shall announce himself, and see what effect that has on you. Apostrophe, this is pretty, apostrophe said Ralph, folding up Miss Squeers' note. Very pretty. I recommend him against all my previous conviction, for I knew he would never do any good to a man with whom, behaving himself properly, he might have remained, in comfort, for years. What is the result? Conduct for which he might hold up his hand at the Old Bailey. Apostrophe, I never will believe it, apostrophe said Kate, indignantly, never. It is some base conspiracy, which carries its own falsehood with it. Apostrophe, my dear, apostrophe said Ralph, you wrong the worthy man. These are not inventions. The man is assaulted, your brother is not to be found. This boy, of whom they speak, goes with him, remember, remember. Apostrophe, it is impossible, apostrophe said Kate. Nicholas. And a thief too. Mama, how can you sit and hear such statements? Apostrophe, apostrophe, poor Mrs. Nickleby, who had, at no time, been remarkable for the possession of a very clear understanding, and who had been reduced by the late changes in her affairs to a most complicated state of perplexity, made no other reply to this earnest remonstrance than exclaiming from behind a mass of pocket handkerchief, that she never could have believed it, thereby most ingeniously leaving her hearers to suppose that she did believe it. It would be my duty, if he came in my way, to deliver him up to justice, apostrophe said Ralph, my bounden duty. I should have no other course, as a man of the world and a man of business, to pursue. And yet, apostrophe said Ralph, speaking in a very marked manner, and looking furtively, but fixedly, at Kate, and yet I would not. I would spare the feelings of his sister. And his mother, of course, apostrophe added Ralph, as though by an afterthought, and with far less emphasis. Kate very well understood that this was held out as an additional inducement to her to preserve the strictest silence regarding the events of the preceding night. She looked involuntarily towards Ralph as he ceased to speak, but he had turned his eyes another way, and seemed for the moment quite unconscious of her presence. Everything, apostrophe said Ralph, after a long silence, broken only by Mrs. Nickleby's sobs, everything combines to prove the truth of this letter, if indeed there were any possibility of disputing it. Do innocent men steal away from the sight of honest folks, and skulk in hiding places, like outlaws? Do innocent men inveigle nameless vagabonds, and prowl with them about the country as idle robbers do? Assault, riot, theft, what do you call these? Apostrophe, apostrophe, a lie. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried a voice, as the door was dashed open, and Nicholas came into the room. In the first moment of surprise, and possibly of alarm, Ralph rose from his seat, and fell back a few paces, quite taken off his guard by this unexpected apparition. In another moment, he stood, fixed and immovable with folded arms, regarding his nephew with a scowl, while Kate and Miss La Creevy threw themselves between the two, to prevent the personal violence which the fierce excitement of Nicholas appeared to threaten. Dear Nicholas, apostrophe cried his sister, clinging to him. Be calm, consider apostrophe, consider, Kate. Apostrophe, apostrophe cried Nicholas, clasping her hand, so tight in the tumult of his anger, that she could scarcely bear the pain. When I consider all, and think of what has passed, I need be made of iron to stand before him. Apostrophe, or bronze, apostrophe said Ralph, quietly, there is not hardihood enough in flesh and blood to face it out. Apostrophe, oh dear, dear. Apostrophe, apostrophe cried Mrs. Nickleby, that things should have come to such a pass as this. Apostrophe, apostrophe, who speaks in a tone, as if I had done wrong, and brought disgrace on them? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Nicholas, looking round. Your mother, sir, apostrophe replied Ralph, motioning towards her. Whose ears have been poisoned by you, apostrophe said Nicholas. By you who, under pretense of deserving the thanks she poured upon you, heaped every insult, wrong, and indignity upon my head. You, who sent me to a den where sordid cruelty, worthy of yourself, runs wanton, and youthful misery stalks precocious, where the lightness of childhood shrinks into the heaviness of age, and its every promise blights. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.